Welcome to the Steelers by the Lake podcast. My name is James, joined once again by my co-host Cody. How are you this fine Saturday morning, Cody?
Oh, James, I'm doing lovely. Nice three-day weekend for me. I get off today, tomorrow, and Monday, so that'll be nice after my first week of work. So it's a good time. How are you, James?
Nice. I'm good. I'm on day three of having a four-day weekend that I gave myself.
There you go.
So enjoying it. I already got my walk out of the way, so getting the healthy things done already so I can do the unhealthy things the rest of the day.
Got it. Eating and drinking.
Some football, college football this afternoon, some Penn State football going on.
Who they play today?
Yeah. I remember not being impressed by who it is, but I don't remember who it is offhand. But I'll have that for you very quickly. Central Michigan.
Central Michigan, Chippewas.
Yeah.
Fun times. They should get a powerhouse. They should win that one, I'm guessing. Knock on wood.
They've looked pretty good so far. So I'm optimistic, which is different from how I'm feeling about the Steelers these days. I don't know about you.
Oh, I'm feeling some type of way, James. I'm not even sure what it is anymore. Yeah, we're obviously going to go over the game today. We're going to talk about the Thursday night matchup with the Browns and how that didn't go in our favor. And what we felt was the cause of that. And I think that there were a lot of causes for that one. But
I agree.
We'll definitely get into that. So real quick, before the game, Steelers did elevate the outside linebacker Delonte Scott for the game. And then the inactives were listed the same as they've been so far. Mason Rudolph, Kendrick Green, Steven Sims, Isaiah Loudermilk, Mark Robinson, and David Anai. I'm going to always mess that name up. Huh?
David Anini. No surprise there on these. I do expect this to be the last week for Delonte Scott. You only get two elevations before you actually have to put him on the 53. B, David Anini's been there long enough that he'll get a chance to get into the playbook a lot this upcoming week and get a good feel for what's going on, and he should be ready to play against the Jets. So I'm looking forward to that because – honestly, the outside linebacker room, other than Alex Highsmith, has been very lackluster. And I'll be excited to see another face out there.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree completely. It'd be exciting. I want to, you know, we would both want to see Loudermilk get involved. I'd almost still like to see Mark Robinson get involved, but we'll see what happens with these guys moving forward. And now it is the unfortunate time to talk about the game, James.
Yeah, man.
Started off okay. For the most part.
The first half was actually pretty decent.
Yeah. Yeah.
They stayed in the game. They moved the ball all right. You know, we had some good running plays in the first half. The running game was actually pretty effective. They had 88 rushing yards in the first half of the game.
Yeah. And that was about it for the whole game.
Yes.
Pretty close. Yeah,
very little. Very little after that.
Very unfortunate just to see how the game played out. You know, Pittsburgh obviously allowed a touchdown first for Cleveland with Jacoby Brissett to Amari Cooper, which was something you had to get used to if you were watching this game. But then they responded well with Najee Harris's touchdown run, and he ran angry.
He did. He did. I feel like we saw a little sneak of that at the end of the Patriots game. Mm-hmm. We saw him run really angry at the end of that game. Taking a defensive back from the Patriots and just literally throwing him with a stiff arm, kind of like Juju did to that kid in college. Yep. If you remember that stiff arm while he was at USC.
Yep.
A very similar style, and then hurdling people. Same thing this week, so Najee looking good. I'm starting to get a little more production out of him. Feels like he's seeing the field pretty well again, as he was getting some criticism from week two for possibly not seeing the field so well. Although I disagreed with a few of the takes out there, even one from Trey Essex, who really dogged him on one play. And I was like, dude, did you see that Pat Freiermuth just got driven 5 yards into the backfield? Are you accounting for that or no? Because it kind of ruins any kind of read he could possibly have on that play. But anyway, yeah, just at least some steps forward, some nice running out of Jaylen Warren as well, I thought, in this game.
Yeah. So I'm not going to try and go through all the scoring drives. We just want to talk about players and how we think they did. Obviously, we've been talking about Najee. We'll get to him in a second. Let's talk about Mitch. 20 of 32, not a bad percentage-wise. No touchdowns, no interceptions, 207 passing yards. The no interceptions is an improvement from last week. The no touchdowns is not. I don't know. I felt like Mitch played a fairly decent game. I think there were opportunities that he missed, and there were certain things that I think he could have done or could have tried to be better. But again, I don't think that they're spreading this offense deep down the field enough until late games. And yeah. I don't know. I don't know if it's game planning. I don't know if it's just his decision-making. I don't know what it is. And I don't know where to go to fix the problem. Granted, I can't fix the problem, but I'm trying to figure out where Pittsburgh needs to go to fix the problem at this point. I don't know.
I feel like it was a step in the right direction a few times. Unfortunately, just some crucial mistakes at certain points. There was a 3rd-and-1 where he threw it to Deontay, and he just straight up dropped the ball. There was a wide receiver screen that Deontay dropped. There was a deep ball into the end zone to George Pickens where he had the opportunity to catch a touchdown and decided he wanted to hot dog it and just throw one hand out there and didn't catch it, and it was dang near intercepted in the end zone. It was an easy touchdown. And then another one where they had that shovel pass to Jalen Warren. He goes for 30 yards. And we get called for an ineligible man downfield on Chukwuemeka for blocking a middle linebacker. And you just say, man, there were so many opportunities. If you convert on 3 of those and don't screw up those mistakes, you've got a touchdown pass, and you've got another probably 70, 80 yards through the air. And then it looks like a whole different thing on the stat line. And then you're also talking about maybe a Steelers win versus a Steelers loss.
Yeah.
So they really got everybody come together. I did feel like Mitch stepped in the right direction in this game. Nowhere near enough tight end usage, like you said, until way too late in this game. That's a big issue. That was part of how they were successful week one, was utilizing the tight end position, and then it kind of dropped off, and the losses came with it. So that's something that you gotta hope that somebody in that coaching staff recognizes and says, hey man, we got to start getting these guys involved again. And I know some of that in this game was due to using the tight ends to help chip on Myles Garrett. You know, Myles did not get a sack in this game, and a lot of that can be thanks to Zach Gentry, thanks to Pat Freiermuth, and also the running backs and getting out there and chipping on them.
Yep.
But yeah, we gotta find a way to utilize that middle of the field. Still somehow an issue after 3 weeks of football.
Yeah, very confusing. You know, it's frustrating because they've had all offseason to figure this out, and then you have preseason to figure it out, and then you've had 2 full games up to this point to figure it out, and they still haven't figured out how. And shockingly enough, week one of preseason was a phenomenal game, and we played very well moving the ball, passing the ball, all 3 quarterbacks. Now we can't do it. I don't know what it is. I don't know. Again, you talked about Pat Freiermuth, 2 receptions, both on one of the final drives, both for over 20 yards. Not both over 20 yards, but averaging over 20 yards. His longest being a 26-yard reception. That's what happens when you use the middle of the field. Things happen. The ball gets moved. Like, and I'm not saying do it every play, obviously, because then you have to mix things up. But like, you can't wait until the 4th quarter to go middle range down the field. Like, it's just... it blows my mind.
And that's why the running game struggled so much in the second half, too.
Yep.
Because you weren't using the middle of the field. So they just brought their safeties up and started stuff on the run because we weren't completing anything down the field. So the safeties didn't need to stay back.
Nope, not at all. So, again, I don't want to go too far into receivers right now. We can talk about running backs. We talked about Najee and the running game not being really existent in that second half. Najee had 15 carries for 56 yards, only a 3.7 average. Jalen Warren, 4 carries for 30 yards. He ran very well this game, with his longest being 10. Najee did obviously have the rushing touchdown. Mitch had a rushing touchdown. Chase Claypool had the one end around for 11 yards. I don't know. I just don't understand. Like, this is NFL level stuff. I don't understand how we are so bad at doing the simple things. it's like, it's frustrating. It's irritating. I don't know. Especially for someone who grew up watching Pittsburgh when they had guys like Ken Wisenhunt and Bruce Arians being the offensive coordinators. This is confusing to me. I don't know what to do.
And you're used to all the success with Jerome Bettis and then Le'Veon Bell.
Willie
and
Parker even.
Being able to run all over teams. And now, you know, we're happy to get 100 combined yards out of everybody. And that's not where you want to be. So they need to continue on this. I at least like that there were steps in the right direction. No, the running game in the first half was productive. And they were able to utilize Mitch as a weapon running the ball. He got himself a rushing touchdown also. But utilizing him in the option game, I mean, if you're not getting the production out of the passing game, why not? He is a very athletic quarterback. You might as well do that. And that's going to open up at least some lanes rushing-wise because some people will have to collapse on him, which will allow more one-on-one opportunities for Najee. And when Najee runs angry, one-on-one is a good situation for him.
Very good situation. Moving to the receiving stuff, you know, George Pickens had that phenomenal catch, probably the best catch we're going to see all year almost. It'd be hard to up that at this point. But Deontay, 8 receptions, targeted 11 times, so he obviously had the 2 drops. 84 yards, you know, that's, he's averaging a first down per reception. That's great. Pat Freiermuth, the 2 for 41. George Pickens, 3 for 39. Chase Claypool, 3 for 35. All those guys averaging a first down per reception. That's phenomenal. I guess we just didn't do it enough is what I would say. Najee Harris, 3 receptions for only 5 yards. And Jaylen Warren, 1 for 3. Nothing too crazy out of the running backs out of the backfield. Halfback screens.
And again, we at least saw that shovel pass that went for a good 30 yards, and then the penalty brings it back.
Yeah.
So let's see that again in future weeks here, because obviously there's some ability going on there. Continue what you're going to say. I'm sorry for cutting you
No,
off
that's
there.
Okay. I don't think the running back screens are working very well, and I think you got to start getting. I don't think you can. It'd be one thing if the running game wasn't working, which it's kind of not. It obviously did in the first half. You can't completely abandon area of football. You can't abandon the run. You can't abandon the pass. But if screenplays aren't working, stop. Like, stop wasting your time. The end around's working right now. Why did we only run that once?
Yep.
Like,
it seems like that's an essential part of Matt Canada's offense, and all of a sudden he's not running it at all.
Yeah.
And I don't get it because Gunner's good at it. Chase has been good at it at times.
Deontay's good at times.
Yeah.
You got George Pickens now.
I'm confused. Yeah, I'm confused on that. And look, with the passing distribution here, I was happy to see the ball thrown to George Pickens more often in this game, at least. But only 3 catches. And when you look at that total yardage, 39 yards, 34 was on 1 catch.
Yeah.
So the other ones were all right at the line of scrimmage with nowhere for him to go. You got to get this guy down the field, man. Like, he catches it, but got to get some catchable balls thrown his way. And he's got to do a better job of not just trying to get the highlight catch. That was the most amazing catch you're probably going to see all season. Cody's 100% right on that. Yep. But then to follow it up with trying to one hand another one when he could have easily gotten 2 hands on it, and it's an easy touchdown if he catches it.
And it was almost a pick.
Almost a pick because he tried to hot dog it. Like, I get it. The other catch, like, there was no getting 2 hands on it. I'm not saying that he should have used 2 hands on the amazing catch. Like, no, that was a one-hand catch. That's the only way you catch that ball. The other one easily could have been 2 hands, and you got to do it.
Yeah. Offensive line in this game, again, you said it pretty. I mean, they played better. They didn't play great, but they played better. I felt there were a couple times where Mitch was, you know, snapping the ball and immediately had someone in his face. Whether that was, I mean, don't get me wrong. Sometimes that was Najee missing a block.
Yeah, one was Najee.
Yeah, sometimes the O-line let someone through. I think that, and this is my honest opinion, I think that we're going to see the offensive line continue to get better because I think there, again, this is still a young offensive line. There's still, you have so many new pieces coming in. The new coach, the 2 new players we signed, Trying to figure out, you know, is where are these guys going to play? They keep kind of, I don't think they're sold on who's playing in what position and all this stuff. So I'm just kind of waiting it out. But I do think that hopefully by, and I hate to say this, by week 8 or 9, the team will be gelling. I hate to say that because it's an NFL team and it shouldn't take that long. They should have figured this out in the offseason and they didn't. And I think that's what separates good teams from great teams, is the great teams figure that stuff out when they need to before the games start getting serious. But unfortunately, I do think that we're going to continue to see the offensive line get better. We may see a bad game here and there, but I do believe that they're going to continue in the right direction, which is about the best news I have today, from my opinion. Yeah,
like me personally, I thought the offensive line had a pretty decent game. They did open up some holes in the running game.
Yep.
They did move the pile a little bit. And pass protection wasn't atrocious. I want to say there was only, what, one sack allowed the entire game?
I believe so.
That's saying something. When Myles Garrett does not get a sack, and everybody's talking about, oh, the Steelers' offensive line's horrible. Well, they had really horrible moments in that preseason. They absolutely did. But it seemed like by that third preseason game, they were starting to gel. And I would say at this point, they're actually looking like a semi-solid unit. I'm not saying they're good. I'm not saying they're great. I'm saying right now, they look kind of adequate. And they're making some holes. And most of the time, Mitch has time. He has time to throw. And he's got time to make decisions. And it's better than I thought it was going to be after the first two preseason games. I'll tell you that. I thought for sure the way they looked, it was like, oh, man, somehow Dan Moore got worse. You know, James Daniels is supposed to be really good and he looks bad. And then now here we are, and James Daniels is playing some great football. Dan Moore is holding off people like Myles Garrett. I mean, there was one play that he got tossed, but yeah, other than that, he held them off the entire game. So Dan's actually having a pretty decent season thus far. And, you know, Mason Cole, when was the last time you talked about Mason Cole losing a rep, you know? So I think the offensive line is doing well. I think it's gelling, as you said there. And you got to be optimistic knowing that almost all of these starters are 24 years old or younger. You know, Mason Cole's your old man on the line, and he's like 27. The rest of these guys are like 25, 24 or younger. So the arrow should be pointing up and should continue for improvement. And that's at least something to be optimistic about. We just need some more consistency around them.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. We'll have to wait and see what they're going to do. But again, you're right. They did have a better game. I'm just hoping that as a team, we can play a full 60 minutes of football next week at the Jets, or when we play the Jets, because you're going to be there and it's going to be an enjoyable thing to watch if they can play well.
That's it, man. This is the opportunity, because the schedule gets real tough after this. It's a pretty wicked group of teams following this. But the light is coming at the end of the tunnel here, right? So we got the Jets, which should not be a super tough matchup. But I think the way Pittsburgh's playing right now, it's still going to be a tough game.
Yeah.
I don't take that as an easy one at all. But then what do we have? Bills and Tampa Bay. And
Bills, Buccaneers, Dolphins at this point, yeah, who are undefeated.
Yeah, they're tough right
Eagles
now.
Eagles are undefeated. Then we go. Mm-hmm. Then we've got the Saints and then the Bengals.
Yeah.
Colts, Falcons, Ravens, Panthers, Raiders, and then you end the year with Ravens, Browns. It's going to be a wild time for sure.
It's tough to find an easy game on the remaining parts of the schedule right now. A lot of tough teams, a lot of teams that are playing at their best right now. So we'll see how that pans out. Obviously, just the same for Pittsburgh. A lot of these teams are one injury away from the team not looking anywhere near as good. But a promising thing for Pittsburgh is that TJ keeps on just sitting on the sidelines. Oh, no arm in a sling. Yep. I mean, if you didn't know that he had injured his pectoral muscle, you would never guess it. So yeah. I think that this could possibly be best case scenario. And you got to look after this Jets game. Anybody that was on injured reserve at the beginning of the year would be eligible to come off of it. So maybe does a Calvin Austin III come off? Is he healthy?
Yeah.
We're going to find out after this Jets game, and that could be a really big spark to the offense. You know, a guy with a 4.3, 40-yard dash kind of speed could really help stretch things out. Even just sending him deep causes the safety to have to go at the corner because the corner can't stick with him.
Yep.
And now you got two guys out of the play, which is going to really open up the middle of the field more for whoever the quarterback may be at that point in time to try to use that middle of the field a little.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's look at the defensive side of the ball real quick. You know, talking about the D-line, we had two sacks on the game, 1.5 coming from Alex Highsmith, half coming from Larry Ogunjobi, even though Larry Ogunjobi got the sack. We don't care. Alex Highsmith, you get a half sack. Good job. Tyson Alualu was almost non-existent. 3 tackles, that's it. Cam Hayward was probably the least involved, I think, in a game, but he was involved, like, least number-wise. He only had 7 tackles, 4 solos, mm-hmm. but, like, no pass breakups for him. No sacks. I didn't feel like I saw a whole lot of quarterback pressure from him, in all honesty. It was just a quiet game.
He was getting double teamed almost every play. He was double teamed, and that's a tall task when you're already going against Joel Petonio, who's not a slouch.
Yeah.
But then you got the center helping him all game, every game. That's that makes it difficult. I was personally a little disappointed with his defensive front. Cam Hayward, I did feel like had a good game. Like you mentioned, he did have a tackle for loss in this game and 7 total tackles. So he was doing his part. But Larry Ogunjobi registering just a half sack and 2 assists, no actual solo tackles. Chris Wormley, 5 total tackles, 3 were assists. One play I remember seeing him getting absolutely murdered off the ball and just launched backwards. Montrevious Adams, there was one play where he penetrated on a toss or a sweep, whatever it was, grabbed the center and just threw him to the ground, which is exactly what you want on that kind of play, is get through there. If the guy is pulling, push him, because you're probably going to knock him off balance, which he did. And it kind of blew the play up. I think Chubb or whomever the running back was able to wrangle off 1 yard out of the play, but he blew it up by getting that penetration, which is what they're missing right now. These defensive linemen are not getting any penetration. They're not causing disruption in the backfield other than Cam Hayward. Pretty much it's not happening if your name isn't Cam. So we got to see that from some of these guys here. DeMarvin Leal got a tackle in the game. And there was one play where he was trying to run somebody down, and I was like, oh, my God, man, I can't believe how fast this guy is. I know his 40 was like a 5.0 something and didn't look fast, but he looks like he runs like a 4.7 when he's chasing somebody, man. He is really, really quick.
Yep, and sometimes game speed's different. We talked about that before in the draft process. Yeah. Sometimes game speed is different. So, again, I agree with you. Not impressed with this defensive front. Even the linebackers weren't super great. Middle linebackers, I felt like, played very well. I mean, let me clarify. Alex Highsmith with a sack and a half is great.
And 2 tackles for loss. He was stout against the run, too.
He was stout against the run. I guess I shouldn't say this. I don't know. I guess I'm being too needy, and I still want more from these guys. But Miles Jack had, you know, led the team with 12 tackles. And even Devin Bush played better than he has. He had 11 tackles and stuffed the run a little bit here and there. Was actually making some good contact. I saw one play where I was like, holy crap, Devin Bush grabbed. I thought he was going to get run over and have to let go, but he wound up hanging on to Chubb and getting him to the ground. So I think this was one of Devin Bush's better games. Again, unfortunately, no pass breakups from these guys. You know, no interceptions or anything like that. No forced fumbles, unfortunately. So. It's like an awkwardly quiet game from them, middle linebackers specifically.
Yeah, I hear you. Lots of tackles, but no forced fumbles, no interceptions, no pass deflections, no tackles for loss.
Yeah.
So it feels almost like what I used to complain about with Larry Foote. Larry Foote got lots of tackles, but it seemed like he was always getting them when the player already had 5 or 6 yards down the field.
Yep.
It kind of had that feel to it. There was one play where Devin Bush absolutely blew up Kareem Hunt and like scooped him and slammed him to the ground. And I was like, oh my God, where has this physicality been? So I did like that there was some more physicality out of Devin Bush. I think we can't undersell the fact that Alex Highsmith is doing as well as he is. True. It's really tough to focus on that because how the defense in general is not getting the stops right now. They're not playing as well as they did week 1. But Alex Highsmith, I thought, had another really nice game in this, and he's going to start getting some national recognition. When you're talking about 4.5 sacks in the first three games total, and getting some tackles for loss, being stout against the run, he's starting to really turn some heads. And if TJ can come back after 4 weeks, if he's healthy enough to play, and Alex continues playing at this pace, he's not just going to get the double-digit sacks. He's going to be in that mid-teen area. He could end up leading the team in sacks this year very easily. He is right now. Yeah. But he could very easily end up with a lead at the end of the year if he continues this pace. I just feel like right now we got Alex Highsmith playing well. Miles Jack and Devin Bush doing decent. You know, they're not getting abused too badly a little bit in the passing game, but not in the run. And then we've got a huge drop-off at the other outside linebacker position right now. Malik Reed just getting bullied out there. He can't even handle tight ends in the running game.
Yep.
And it shows that there's a big drop off from the quality of player after Alex Highsmith down to Malik Reed. And that's why I'm so anxious to see some David Anini out there, because I want to see somebody else. Because what we're seeing out of Delonte Scott, what we're seeing out of Jameer Jones just isn't enough.
Nope.
These guys aren't enough. Malik Reed, I was hoping, would be better than he is. I don't even feel like he's adequate right now. I feel like he's a below adequate player as far as a starter, and a clear weak link on this defense right now.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we take a look now at the secondary. Secondary was also quiet. I think they had some good, a couple breakups. Akilah Witherspoon had a breakup. Yep. You know, Cam Sutton had a breakup.
Cam Eli had
Wallace
one.
Had one. Mm-hmm. Minka no pick this week. Only 4 tackles for Minka. I don't know if that's good or bad. You know,
that's smart. That shows that your boy Jacoby Brissett was smart and threw away from him all game long.
That is also true.
And he threw right at Terrell Edmonds. Also, not your boy. Terrell gave up 2 touchdowns in this game. That is just backbreaking. It was smart play by the Cleveland offensive coordinator, whether it's Kevin Stefanski or the actual coordinator calling these plays. They came out in a regular formation and then went empty set, spread everybody out. And then it was basically whoever Terrell Edmonds was one-on-one on, that's who he'd throw to in the red zone. And it was an easy touchdown every time, because that is a weakness of Terrell Edmonds' game.
Yep.
So I am excited to see DeMonte KZ come back from the injured reserve and the suspension that he's currently serving. Thank God, only 3 games. But if he does come back, I wonder if in obvious passing situations they start pulling Terrell Edmonds off the field and let KZ play out there instead, because his coverage skills are so much better.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not good for Terrell Edmonds. And only 2 tackles on the game.
Yeah,
not a good stat line for him at all. Didn't really get involved anywhere other than the scoreboard for Cleveland, which is not what you want.
No.
With that being said, special teams, Boswell missed a field goal attempt, but he hit both of his extra points. Presley Harvin had an okay game punting. I don't know, 5 punts, 42 yards. We still got to figure out a better
way. He shanked a few in this game, but the wind was pretty wicked. So I feel like that had a large factor in it. And I mean, that was everything. That's the only reason Boswell missed that kick. When that kick left his foot, it was going straight between the uprights. And by the time it got there, it was right of the right upright. And it was 100% the wind. So yeah. I feel like Presley kind of struggled with that in this game, and it was probably his worst game of the season so far. Bad timing for it. They really could have used a few more booming punts. But that's just the way that rolls. And as bad as that was, I feel like we have to talk about Miles Killebrew getting a partial block on a punt. We have to talk about Miles Boykin just being an amazing gunner and being right down there every time on the punt coverage unit.
Yeah.
So we had some great performances from the Mileses, and just need a little bit from everybody else too. You know, we need to get this return game going. Just very few opportunities these days.
Yeah, one like return, one for 18 yeah. yards. That was it.
Yeah, no kick return opportunity again. I don't think he's had it yet. It was one kick return.
One kick return, no punt returns.
But no punt returns.
I think he's nervous.
And last game it was no kick returns and one punt return. And I feel like the first week it was very similar. You just no opportunities to return, which sucks because I feel like this might be the best return man that Pittsburgh's used since Antonio Brown. Yep. And he's not getting opportunities to show his ability.
Yep. Yeah, it's very unfortunate. You got to try to some degree, you can't game plan that. If they punt it out of the end zone or if he's too far back, it's a smart decision not to take it out. So we'll have to see what happens with special teams. I'm going to be watching that a little bit more with this Jets game to see how we handle kick and punt return when there's opportunities and when there's not and stuff like that. But again, very unfortunate that Pittsburgh did not come out of this game with a win. But hopefully next week. Because they're going to have good luck because James will be there.
They do have a pretty high winning percentage when I'm in the stadium. I'm going to be honest with you. I am a little bit worried about this Witherspoon injury. He left the game early with a hamstring.
Yep.
You never know with hamstrings. Is it torn? Is it just a strain? Even a strain is technically a slight tear. At least it's a longer break than normal before the next game. But if he's not able to go, boy, that puts a lot of strain on the other guys, on Cam Sutton and on Levi Wallace. I will be worried about it if Witherspoon is not playing. And Witherspoon is not playing his best football right now either.
Yeah.
So even if he is healthy, how much is he helping? I really feel like this is a position that Pittsburgh is going to need to address in the offseason, whether it be with a free agent or with a first or second round pick. You got to get a corner with a little more pedigree, a guy that's got the elite athleticism and can at least slow down these number ones. Because Amari Cooper just had his way with him.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll have to wait and see. James, get us a win when you're in the stadium. We need.
Yeah, I'm going to do my part. It's going to be a rowdy stadium. I'll guarantee you that. I won't let them be lazy. I will not let them be lazy and sit on their butts. People are going to wonder what the heck is wrong with my voice next Monday morning. And anybody that knows me will know exactly what's wrong with my voice.
Absolutely.
Because I'll be leading the charge. I guarantee you that. And we're going to be leading the charge with another episode before that Jets game. It's kind of going to depend a little bit based off of Cody's work schedule. He's been getting stuck working really late these days. So if he can get out at a reasonable time, we'll try to do one Friday night for you guys. If not, another Saturday morning, just like we're doing right now, to tell you about what we expect to see in that Jets game. And again, if you think you might be going to the game, reach out to me. Let me know. Hit us on any of our socials. I would love to sit and talk football with you while we're tailgating.
Absolutely. So again, thank you guys so much for listening. Be sure to like and follow on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. Subscribe and ring the bell. Don't forget, James will be at the game. Go say hi. Go give him a hug. Have a burger with him or something, and you guys will have a good time. Yeah. Until next time, this is your host, James and Cody, signing off.
Peace.